Yo, what's going on, man? This is Drizzy Drake.
Hey, guys, I'm Iggy Azalea.
Yo, what's up? It's the Kid 56.
Stick around for more conversations with Allison J. The Journey to Here, brought to you by Ethel May Books. This is Conversations with Allison J. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Allison J. The Journey to Here. Today, as always, we have another captivating and thought-provoking topic and guest. Here's your host, Allison J.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of Conversations with Allison J. The Journey to Here. I'm Allison J. Please remember to subscribe to the channel, like the videos, and share. Today, we'll be speaking about sextortion with Tamia and Tim Woods. Tamia and Tim are the parents of James Timothy Woods. James was a 17-year-old high school student, a person who ran year-round just because. He started with outdoor track and field, wanting to better his times and increase his endurance. He began to run around his neighborhood, always willing to go the extra mile to achieve his goals. He also went on to run cross country as well as indoor track during the winter months. His neighbors always saw him jogging with his headphones on, waving to them as he passed by. Unfortunately, this beautiful life was cut short because of the actions of money-hungry criminals. They targeted James. James was being cyberbullied. The culprits extorted money from him, mentally tortured him, threatened him, and harassed him all night and into the next day. James was exhausted from lack of sleep. He tried everything he could think of to stop his parents from learning of the embarrassing acts that took place. The last resort was that of the ultimate prize. James took his life. On November 19th, 2022, James took his life. One could only hope that he knew with the utmost certainty that he was loved, adored, and cherished. With the help of the Streetsboro Police Department, James's parents quickly found out that James was the victim of sextortion. Although devastated by their loss, Tamia and Tim, to make sure no other parent felt the same pain, went to Streetsboro High School to speak of James and to warn other children about sextortion. The goal was also to help guide them into knowing that their lives are worth living and that no problem is too big. Tamia and Tim began working with the Streetsboro Police Department, the Streetsboro City School Superintendent, Streetsboro High School, and many, many news outlets to tell James's story and warn parents about this invisible evil. The response of the community was overwhelming. On January 13, 2023, the Woods founded a nonprofit organization called the Do It for James Foundation to be the voice and warn others. The Do It for James Foundation encourages communication between children and adults. As the foundation grows, it will help the underserved assist with mental health needs and provide scholarships for runners cross-country, track and field. Like James, the foundation will continue to run year-round, giving life, providing love, educating, and doing it for James. Tamia and Tim, thank you so much for joining us here on Conversations with Allison J, The Journey to Here. Welcome. Well, firstly, I would like to just offer my sincere condolences to you both on the loss of your son. I cannot begin to imagine what, as a parent, you would be going through to learn of your son taking his life and then the circumstances surrounding it. And I also want to thank you and commend you for taking your pain to ensure that another parent, another family doesn't experience this kind of loss at the hands of such unscrupulous people. And thank you so much for joining me here on Conversations with Allison J, The Journey to Here, to talk about sextortion. Because to be honest, I had never heard of it before. And I only came across it because, you know, YouTube likes to tell you what to watch. And then this video came up and I saw the title and it was just curiosity. What is that? And I clicked on it and then I saw yourselves talking about your experience and just sharing about your son, James. And, you know, I asked a few people if they'd ever heard of it, and everyone I've spoken to said no, they didn't even know what it was. So if I could please ask you, if you don't mind, if you can share with us a bit about your son, James, because I think it's important for everyone to know who James was and what sextortion is.
Well, first, thank you for all of that. That is our number one reason why we have chosen to speak out, because unfortunately for us, we did not find out what sextortion was until it was too late. Mm-hmm. And to have our world come crashing down and to take someone who loves us unconditionally to be taken away, We did not want anyone else to endure that type of pain that we have to endure on a day-to-day basis. So that is our number one. James was our pride and joy and will always be our pride and joy. And we have his legacy to continue on for mm-hmm. that. Sextortion is... in James' case, so it's a number of different ways that sextortion can happen. Mm-hmm. So what a lot of people may be a little familiar with as far as sextortion, you have your traditional sextortion and you have modern or financial sextortion. So traditional sextortion, it's been around for years, and it typically targets young women, and it's still the age range, teenage years, adolescent years, and they will talk to them nicely, tell them how pretty they are and how they adore them, and eventually it turns and they start to threaten the young women for additional pictures or videos. And with that, you may see some self-harming that is with the female. So you may see where
cutting.
Yes, wrist cutting, or you may see burns, them cutting their hair, things of that nature. The primary goal of that traditional sextortion is for them to get additional material for either their own self-gratification or to sell it on the dark web.
Black market, dark web.
So then you have financial sextortion, which is running rampant right now. It happened shortly before James mm-hmm. had passed away, and a lot of people just weren't familiar with it. With James' particular story, is that a female had contacted James. They became quickly familiar with each other, asked each other, do you like to go to work or do you go to school? What they like to do, run track is what James loved to do. And she talked him into going on video with him. Once they did so, she asked if he wanted to see her private areas. He's 17 and a half. She was beautiful because he said she was beautiful to him. And so he said yes. Once she exposed herself, she created that safe space for him. And she mm-hmm. said, now it's your turn. And he exposed himself on video with them. Once that happened, they screenshotted James' video and then started to send him messages stating that they were going to ruin his life. His life is over. He's going to jail. He'll be listed as a pedophile. He will never be able to go to college again, and yeah. proceeded to send 200 messages in 19 and a half hours for James. Their primary goal with this is for them to get money. So they have to be more aggressive, which you would see with boys. So boys and young men are easier to get. It happens a lot faster, between on an average of 8 minutes. However, the verbiage in getting them to do different things, they are more aggressive. which is why you see a lot of suicides behind that. And that's one of the reasons why James passed by suicide, is because within those 200 messages, mm-hmm. they did tell him to kill himself. End it now, you might as well end it now. So that is the difference between traditional sextortion and financial sextortion. It probably happens a lot more than people know, because not only are we not aware of it, Allison, as you stated earlier, and a lot of our friends, families, neighbors, journalists, we all are not familiar with sextortion, but neither is law enforcement. So they're starting to just now learn about it. So if you have a situation where someone died by suicide, a lot of times it is labeled, well, past depression or a chemical imbalance. And it's because they don't have the answers. They don't know where to look. Mm-hmm. Fortunately for us, we had law enforcement who became familiar and worked with the Internet Crimes Against Children here in the United States. And that is why we had our answers so quickly, because we had resources that we needed, but also we were close with James. So a lot of the misconceptions on we weren't close or we didn't have a good family life is very debunked, because we had his pulled to his phone. We checked his phone frequently. It just was this one slipped right in and took our baby's life. Mm-hmm. So that's the beginning of that. Sorry, it's a long story, long
no,
way, but I want you to truly understand.
And thank you so much for that, because things that you were saying that it just, one of the things I didn't even think about until you've mentioned it just now is we are very ignorant to a lot of things that are out there that our children are exposed to. But it never occurred to me that just as we are learning about these things, because a lot of these things are relatively new, so are law enforcement. And there aren't laws per se in place that deal with and tackle these things. So it's almost as though everyone in every area is learning how to deal with some of these situations as they come up. And you were mentioning the two different types. And again, in all the research I was there doing, I didn't even see that there were two different types. And it just takes for us to just dig and dig and dig. And once I saw the video of yourselves, I began to do research. And I realized that, To your point, this isn't something that's that new. I found an article dating back 11 years. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, with all the online dangers that we're hearing about, especially for our young people and those young people, and not just young people, but for people who are vulnerable, it's like, why are we not hearing more about the dangers of what our young people are facing? Why are we not hearing more about things put in place to safeguard our young people? I don't know if you've actually come across anything in the work that you've been doing that can even answer any of these questions.
Yes. Did you want to speak on that, Tim? It's a lot. So like, we could talk all day, all night about so many different issues that are going on. One, a lot of the reasons why you may just see an article here and an article there is because dealing with sextortion, it is an extreme amount of vulnerability. So mm-hmm. even with James, we have to express that James did show himself online to a person he didn't know quite well and he never met in person. We are exposing that our son died by suicide, which in itself is judgment behind all of that. And, you know, by us taking out, even though we've been doing this for a little over a year and a half, a lot of times we still face scrutiny and a lot of people cannot handle that. They cannot. It's a wider range of emotions, and on top of us going through grief, and we know how great of a parent we are, we're fighting that judgment of nationally and or internationally even. And so a lot of people don't speak out on that. And that's just, you know, it's normal, especially for people who are actually victims who survived it, who are still here in the physical. You're asking someone who's been sexually assaulted to speak up. Are their parents, are the parents to speak up for their child that passed away, but they also have other children they have to think about. You know, it's so much involved with really coming up front and saying, this is exactly what happened. We also have where we did this, we did back up the Social Media Parental Act. And yeah, if you want to talk about that, Tim, on a lot of things. So with in Ohio, we have Lieutenant Governor John Husted.
Yeah.
And he set forth a law to be put in place, and we backed him up. It was around May, June of last year. They put the law in place. It passed unanimously in Ohio in July, and to be taken effect January 15th. Well, NetChoice, who is an organization that represents the top five biggest social media applications, came in and asked for us to be put, that law to be put on hold. And they were stating that it violates the youth's First Amendment rights. And then the federal judge had sided with them. And so they stopped that law from being put in place. And what that law is anyone who's under 16, so 16 and under, the social media applications have to get the parental consent of that child in order for them to be able to log on to their application and also give the parent access to that same page. And they are fighting that and saying no. And although it wouldn't have helped James because James was 17 and a half, the reason why we backed it is because we see the importance of it. Mm-hmm. And there are other children who have died by suicide at 10, 11, 12, and on, who if we would have had parental consent or if we controls in some sort, or if we would have had some kind of notification that our child is engaging in something that they shouldn't, that it would have saved their lives. But the social media apps are not willing to bend on that.
I'm trying not to be lost for words. And I'm trying, and I'm also trying to be surprised that they are blocking it. And the sad reality is, if we look at everything that's happening, we're not surprised that the social media platforms are blocking this, which is very disheartening when you think about, they're talking about it takes away the First Amendment rights. And I'm going to be very honest, I don't even know what that is. However, in my mind, I'm thinking many of these amendments were written long before social media and all of those kinds of things. So isn't it time that we started to look at some of these amendments and amend them, because we cannot in all good conscience stand by and watch this happen to, I'm going to say, our children, because it, like, you know, it takes a village, right? And you know, I was looking at the Canadian Center for Child Protection, and they released data about a year or so ago that there's a huge spike in victims of sexual extortion, with the vast majority being teenage boys, because teenage boys make up the majority of victims, which recently have been reported. So if this is the case, and these are the outcomes of these studies, it just blows my mind that these social media platforms are, they're not jumping to get on board to assist people like yourself, that really, when you think about what are you doing? You are aiming to save the lives of people.
And that's our number one goal. Yeah.
Yeah. The lives of people, the way I see it, they got a dollar sign attached to them. And, you know, companies, their main thing is to make money first, and then everything else is secondary. So if they're going to make their money and one or two people get hurt, then so be it. they have to pretty much be forced to look at things a different way, which, like you said about the amendments, you know, they've been around for a long time. And mm-hmm. it's been a while since we had a new amendment put in place. Laws are outdated sometimes, and a lot of them need to be looked at and added more amendments to. But it's probably a money thing where it won't happen. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that is it's quite tragic, the value or lack thereof that is placed on lives of people. And I say this, and I remember saying this to my mother when certain things were happening. And maybe this is a very unpopular opinion, but the sad reality, in my opinion, is that until those people in the positions of making the laws are affected by some of these things, mm-hmm. the yeah. sad part is mm-hmm. some of these things will never change.
Right.
And it's just 100% correct.
You know, yes. And not that you want bad things to happen to people. Mm-hmm. However, it's like, what is it going to take for these social media giants to get on board and these lawmakers to get on board? What is it going to take? One of their children, God forbid, to be in this, and then they're going to be right beside you holding up banners in protest. Like, can we not let it get there?
Yeah, a lot of times people don't understand what it is that other people go through until they actually go through it themselves. You know, it's one thing to be ignorant, but at the same time, when the information is put out there for you and you still choose to be ignorant, that's just stupidity, and you're using that to run your life and other people's at the same time. It's a problem.
Yes. And again, after seeing your news interview and doing more, just doing a Google search for the term sextortion. Now, I recently moved from Maryland to Florida. And while I was still living there, a news article came up in my emails that the FBI are warning parents in Baltimore of the increase of sextortion cases targeting minors. But yet again, we're still not seeing many of the safeguards put in place to protect minors. And so unfortunately, it looks like it's left to people like yourselves to do the work.
Yeah, and even then, we don't have 100% control over our children. Just to give you an example, there's parental controls that you can put on two phones now. And Google has one where you're setting up your phone. And if you have a kid that's 12 years old, and then February 27th comes up, your child turns 13 years old. Well, Google will message your kid directly and say, hey, congratulations on turning 13. You now have the option to take control of your social media apps, and you don't need your parents' permission anymore. It says, click here to sign, to opt out of parental consent. And then the kid gets to choose if they want parental consent or not. And of course, the kid doesn't want the parents all down their back. So they're going to take charge. And then Google emails them and says, your kid chose to take charge of their phone and social media apps, and they don't need you anymore. And this is what it's going to be.
So, 13.
Yes, at 13. So it's things like that. It's things like, you know, even with us and James, we had a wonderful relationship. Tim would tell you, you know, James loved Xbox, and he would sometimes play Xbox with James and his friends, or he would go down there and have James take his, you explain it, because I don't know how to do it right, but.
Yeah, I would, every now and then, I hear him down there playing his game, and I'll go sit on the bed with him, and I'd unplug his headset so that I could hear the conversations going on with him and his friends. And, you know, James was just the average kid, so there was never any time where I said, hey, y'all not supposed to be talking about this, or those are bad people. You know, I would probably go down there maybe once or twice a week just to listen, because he played every day. But I would listen to what their friends were saying and what the conversation topics were. And we did that all the time. And he didn't care because
he had nothing to hide. It was literally just this one time.
And even still, I knew most of the people that he was associating with anyway. Because like she said, I'd play on the game with him. I'd be on my Xbox. He's on his Xbox. We all got our headphones in. We're all laughing at each other, having a fun time.
They would all come to our house. I mean, we always wanted to make sure that James didn't feel like he was the only child. So we will all bring the kids up to our house and have them. And when we say have them, we're not talking about a weekend. Like one time we had 8 boys for 45 days. Yeah, I had kicked them out because the grocery bill, I couldn't take it anymore. But they loved it here, and we kept a good relationship with them. Even to this day, we still we're on a group chat with each other. They come over, they play Uno with us, Jenga, everything. We still have that relationship. But a lot of people aren't understanding the severity of these people who are committing these crimes are professional con artists and they're master manipulators, and they know how to get to our children. And although it happened to James for 19 and a half hours, your average person who dies by suicide because of sextortion is 6 to 8 hours. But we even have friends where one had passed away in 23 minutes, another one passed away in 1 hour and 42 minutes. Yes. It's either 1 hour and 42 minutes or 1 hour and 43 minutes. I don't want to, you know, misrepresent his story, his son's story, but these are the type of situation. So it doesn't matter if you're constantly checking your kids' phones or if you have parental consents, people know how to hack into them. So you have to have that conversation with your kids to explain to them what this looks like. And if you do make this mistake, I'm going to still love you. I will still be there for you. And that is what we actually encourage. We don't encourage for parents to take things away, maybe for a time period if they are going through that. But to consistently take things away and not give them things, they're going to sneak, they're going to hide. And we don't want that. We want to engage in a conversation so that they are aware of certain things that they may come across, and they feel comfortable with passing it on to whoever the trustworthy adult, because every kid doesn't trust their parents. And we have to be honest with that. But we just encourage kids to speak up for themselves and to look for different things. Yeah. A lot of people don't know that this was an immediate action for us. So James passed on November 19th. We found out what happened to James on November 20th, and November 21st is when we started raising awareness.
Yeah.
We went right to James' school. We talked to over 50 kids on the 21st.
Yeah, all his teammates from the track team and the cross country team, they were all gathered together in the weight room, and we went in there and we talked to them for a little bit and told them what was going on. Because, a lot of them was wondering, hey, what happened to James?
What did they miss?
Did I do something wrong? Or, did I miss a phone call? Or they just had a lot of questions.
And you know something, now that you're saying that, it's making me realize just how important it is that we treat young children and young people like they have sense, because they understand more than we give them credit for, and they feel things as well. So you saying that, look at that. They were looking at it and almost like they were internalizing it to say, did I miss a phone call? What's happened? And can you imagine if you didn't share that and then they've left with all these questions?
Yeah.
I think it would have been really bad. Not only, I don't want to, there were right after James, there were four major sextortion cases after James. We don't know what would have happened if we didn't say anything about it. But since we did say something about it, the kids even mentioned the only reason why I told you, Mom, was because of James' story. They were aware of James' story. And that's happened where tons of times since. They speak up now because they know James' story. Two pedophiles were captured because of James' story. James, I personally, Tim's not as spiritual as I am. I became spiritual all of a sudden once James passed. But a lot of people, like, when you lose a child, he was our only child. You don't stop becoming a mother because you lost him that day. And I asked him, what did he need from me? Because I wasn't sure. Like, I'm used to getting him his food. You know, Tim's used to telling them, hey, you have a haircut today. We're used to telling him, did you put on lotion? And the answer is no.
Did you feed the dog?
Yes.
Did you take out the trash?
Yes. That was our life. And so when he passed, I'm like, what do you? I still needed to know what he needed from me. Mm-hmm. And I truly believe this is what he needed from us. Yeah. And Tim, he has my back 100% and I have his 100%. And we're going to stand in solidarity with our child, with our son. He still shines bright in everything that we do. And I think we're just, you know, helping him along the way and truly giving him what he needed from us. So,
yes. And you're helping so many others along the way. And I'm sure there's a lot of parents, without even realizing and knowing, have you both to thank for the fact that their children or child are still here.
Yeah. As long as their child is still here, that's all that matters. You know, we're going to keep on fighting, and we like the acknowledgement. I cannot say that we don't like certain awards, but yeah, that's not why we're doing it. You know, we're doing it because we truly want to help our kids' lives. The invisible evil came and took our child, and we'd be daggone if on our court we don't say anything. So.
Yeah. And thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Because you've taught me something today. I thought that I was well prepared and ready because I did my research, but there's some things that you've taught me today about this that I now can share with those young people around me, because for many years I did mentor teens and I still have a lot of them that I'm connected to. And believe me, I'm going to be sharing James's story with not just them, with their parents also, so that if you start to see your child, because you mentioned earlier about a young ladies cutting themselves and some of the young people cutting themselves and self-harming, and just looking out for some of the signs, because you may notice the signs before they say a word.
Just
keeping your eyes and ears open. Like, is there a change in your child's behavior? Have they become more withdrawn? Are they not eating and things like that? So that you can then think, hold on, something's going on here. Let me start to look and pay attention. And that could potentially save a child's life. So without the work that you all are doing and the awareness you're raising, a lot of people, again, myself included, would be totally ignorant to what is some of the dangers that are out there. Thank you for sharing the kind of person James was, and just dispelling whatever myths people may have about, well, and you know what it's like. And sometimes, especially when you look on social media, and God knows why we always run to the comments of certain things. Right. And when you hear how just downright cruel people can be. So I'm so grateful that one of the things that you're doing when you're advising about sextortion, you're also sharing about who James was, that he wasn't a bad child. He wasn't unruly. He wasn't a disrespectful child with attitude. He played Xbox with his dad, and to the point where, because I'm trying to think, when I was 13, would I have wanted my mom to hear my conversations? Absolutely not. But the fact that you were able to unplug his headphones and be on the games and hear that, that just goes to show that this can happen to anyone.
Yeah.
It yeah. really can. And when you're saying, I'm thinking about the length of time, 19 hours of just getting that, just that, those, that constant type of negative messaging where you mentioned they were saying for him to just end it all now. And I'm looking at, for him to have gone that length of time, you could see that he was fighting. You could see in, and you could feel the fight that was in him to for it, for the fact that it lasted that long.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he must have had.
Yeah, he definitely was fighting, and everything, all these emotions like of him in those last few days, last day. You know, he still, we don't believe that he was planning on ending his life. He went and got his hair cut that same day, a couple hours before he passed. We were at a college fair that morning. Tim talked to him for what?
Yeah, I had to be to work at 5 a.m. in the morning. And when I came down for work, he was already up, you know, eating cereal, wide awake and whatnot, and fully dressed. And that same day, he had a college fair that he was supposed to go to. And I told him, you know, all the good things. Hey, take it in, have fun. You know, I encouraged him to talk to everybody, ask about fraternities, you know, see what all the different activities they might have, you know, all the different types of people. Because, you know, when you go to college, it's usually the first time you get exposed to a different group of people than who you grew up with.
Yeah.
Because, you know, everybody's at college. You know, it's like tens of thousands of people. So I told him, hey, you know, just have fun and enjoy it. You know, I went to work with a smile on my face. You know, he was happy. He was ready. And he went to that college fair. Him and his mom, they was singing and dancing. They met some people. I mean, he had a good time. It was no thoughts of him taking his life. He wanted to be here.
Yeah.
And thank you for sharing that as well, because again, you can just imagine it's one of those things where, are you sure? But you mentioned you had that close relationship. And unfortunately, there are many who don't have that relationship with their parents to be able to, even if they were going through something, to be able to share. And with our young people being so impressionable, what is it that we can do to help them know that they don't need to resort to the measure of taking their lives? In fact, they don't even need to resort to giving these people any money to get them off their back. And especially in the case of your son, they were able to undo all the love you poured into him for the 17 and a half years of your life, of his life, I'm sorry, to... What can we do? I mean, what would you tell someone who's in the situation and they don't know where to turn? What is it that you would want them to know?
Just tell them, hey, you know, grab your kid, wrap your arms around them, tell them you love them, tell them you're there for them, you know, all the good things. Like, we could get through this. You know, this is just one bad mistake. You still have a whole lifetime to make more mistakes. Don't let this one, you know, dwell to where you're going to think of something too negative that you can't recover from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just tell them all the positives about what life will be like after we get through this. You know, they'll listen. You know, kids, they might seem like they don't pay attention, but they really do listen to us. We just have to be willing to take that extra step and really talk to them.
Yeah.
And, you know, make it a conversation before it even gets to them doing something like this. You know, why wait till something bad happens to have a conversation? You know, every kid growing up they were told certain things like, you know, hey, stay away from the strange dogs. They might bite you. Or, you know, don't pick up snakes running through the grass. It might bite you. You know, you warn your kids about the things that you know about. Mm-hmm. Well, now people know about sextortion. Talk to them about that, too, when you talk to them about alcohol and drugs and other things that might, you know, harm their life. Mm-hmm. They'll listen. You just have to talk to them.
And we give out tip cards, too. So, like, we actually are getting an award from the FBI on April 19th. Yeah. And it's pretty cool for all the advocacy work that we're doing in regards to sextortion. But we encourage kids to use our tip card. So James' last Google search was how to get an Instagram page shut down. He was trying to figure out like what all he could do to overcome a situation, and he just couldn't figure it out, and he didn't feel comfortable going to anyone. Whatever reason it was, he didn't feel comfortable going to anyone. So we created this tip card, and the tip card has specific steps on what they should do if they ever become victim. Mm-hmm. And on the back of it, it has the website for them to go to make their complaints and different things of that sort. And our goal is for them to tell somebody. So reach out, make your report, tell someone, and it keeps them alive. And the FBI actually had admitted to us through all the work and the tip cards that we're giving out that the kids are now self-reporting. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Congratulations on your award. You. That's wonderful. And also huge congratulations to you on the fact that something that you've created is helping so many people. Because again, going back to a lot of children, well, I shouldn't say a lot, there are some that are not comfortable speaking to their parents. And that's why we look at it. It's so vitally important that we do build these good relationships with our children so that they can come and talk to us. Because Tim, to your point, why wait for something bad to happen before you're having the conversation? Yeah. Just start building those relationships so that it doesn't have to be something as serious as this. It could be anything, and that you, so that your children already have that safe space to come and speak to you. And it's not necessarily because you don't have that relationship with your children, but just continually reinforce that, you know, I'm here for you. You know, I love you, as I'm sure you did with your son, James. And so, and you mentioned these cars that you have, and I'm presuming it's part of the foundation. Can you tell us a bit about the Do It For James Foundation that you started?
Yes, Tim's going to get the tip card since we have three different ones. Okay. But the foundation we started was on January 13th. And but we started our foundation, it's called the Do It For James Foundation. And it was started January 13th, 2023. And our sole purpose of starting that foundation is to raise awareness and to try to stop it from happening to anyone else. Mm-hmm. So we created this is the tip card that we were speaking about. And this is the one for, we have three different ones, but this is the one for minors. We've given out well over 30,000 of these tip cards, and they have like the different things to do. If you're ever considering suicide, stop, text or dial 988. There, you cannot tear them. They're mm-hmm. like a plastic material because we know kids are rough. And it's small enough for them to keep in the back of their cell phone, in their wallet, their purse, their book bag, somewhere where they can easily access it. But it's never going to be on their phone because they're being harassed on their phone. Mm-hmm. So they have to step away from the phone and read this and try to, you know, come out of the harassment that they're in. Our foundation, we work with, not only do we work with the parents and doing education for the parents, we educate the kids as well. But we also do some education and speak at different conferences for nurses.
We didn't talk to forensic nurses. We didn't talk to sheriffs.
Yes.
Politicians.
Chiefs of police, all kind of law enforcement officers. We're just trying to educate everyone because this is something in order. We will never be able to stop a criminal. The desperation there and what they do, it's just the world that we live in. But what we can do is educate everybody that we can educate, and it will stop their money or lower their money from what they're getting. And hopefully they'll go on to a different crime instead of targeting our children. Mm-hmm. But we have to work together. We have to come together as a community, and we have to include our kids in this because James never went to anyone, not one single soul. So we have to bring the kids in on this, and we have to educate them that there are tools out here, resources. We are here to help you. And that's strictly what Tim and I are doing. That is our assignment now. And, I think we do quite well with it.
Yeah, we're out here. We're trying to work with different people and whatnot to make life a little easier for mostly children. You know, it happens to adults too, but our main focus is children because, you know, they're young and so many of them. We could go to a school and talk to a group of them at one time versus having to go to each individual parent. Mm-hmm. So we talk to them. We tell them, hey, this is what's going on. We tell them, hey, we love you. There's other options out there. And, you know, don't choose anything that's going to, you know, put you in a place where it's going to make your parents be like us. Because we're in the sad group that we don't want anybody to join.
Right.
Yes,
and it's just that our foundation, like, it's just more than a story. Like, we don't go in there and just tell our story. We give everyone tools, and we try to educate as much as we can. We work with different behavioral health organizations in the wherever we are visiting, just to make sure that if someone needs help, immediate help, our therapy behind things, that we can work with them in their local community to do so. So it's way more than just a story for us. Mm-hmm. Just like how people have the misconception that James died over just a picture. That's not the case either. It's much more than that. And that's what we're here to do, is educate and explain all the debts that our children may go through if they ever become a victim of sextortion.
Yes. And again, thank you, because it can't be easy. Because going back to the beginning of our conversation, where you were saying about that some people who still have other children that they want to protect, and some people who have survived this experience, they may not want to relive it. But the fact that you have turned your pain into a purpose to help save the lives of so many others, it's just nothing short of just sheer strength. And you showed the cards. So if you can let everybody listening know, where can they people find resources if they find themselves in this situation, or not just if they find themselves in this situation, people might be hearing this and thinking, okay, I'm going to go and take it to some of the youth groups I work with or people in schools and so on. So where can people find these resources that you have?
So we really need to update a couple of things on our website as well, but we do have an education and share. Our website is www.letsbifj.org. So
it's right on the bottom of the card.
Yes.
Can you hold it all the way up to the camera? Let's see if we can see it. And what I'll do is I will also put the link to that in the description of this video as well.
Awesome. Yeah. So if you go on our website, it's www.letsdifj.org. So that's letsdoitforjames.org. And you can order tip cards. We have minor tip cards that are gray, and that's for everyone under 18. We also have red tip cards. That's for 18 plus, because we tend to forget about our younger adults, or a lot of people who are adults they don't know where to go to report cyberbullying or harassment. So that's a different avenue. Because people under 18, they go through National Center of Missing and Exploited Children, where over 18 goes directly to the FBI with a lot of those. So we have that. And then we also have a yellow tip card for adults. And those yellow tip cards are just in case a child comes to them and they need their help. They have access to that. Mm-hmm. They know what to do next. Last year, we gave out all these tip cards directly to the kids, but we didn't necessarily focus on the adults. And we were like, well, what if the adults, someone comes to them? Like, we needed to come up with something that they would need as well, because they still don't know what to do.
That is true, though, because, you know, I spent many years as a mentor to teens, and mm-hmm. I was having a conversation with my mom yesterday. We were looking at when we were young people, some of the things and the pressures we were exposed to then and what young people are exposed to now. And it was such a different time. I'm thinking, would I know what to say to a young person if they came up to me and said, so Auntie Allison, and I would try to hopefully not look like a deer caught in the headlights with what they're saying to me, because it would be something I've never heard of. But how do we, as the adults that they're looking to for guidance, how do we connect and talk to these young people? So I'm going to be ordering myself some of the yellow tip cards, because again, until I saw your story just a few weeks ago, never heard of this before. So if I'd never heard of it, how would I know how to help somebody if they came to me?
Right.
And see, we went through the same thing when we first found out what was happening to James. We thought about it, and it was nothing that we talked to him about. And the reason was, we didn't know anything about it. You know, we knew about alcohol. We knew about drugs. We knew about, you know, driving cars too fast, no seatbelt, you know, all the things that we experienced through life or was taught to us. But with sextortion, it was something that we didn't know anything about. And even after James had passed, we got on the internet and we couldn't find anything. You know, it took a while, like about 2 or 3 months before you could actually get on the internet and just find articles about sextortion.
And it was our articles.
Like, yeah, it was us. It wasn't anybody else that we could reference.
Well, I think we Googled and we may have found like one other article. And then like in a month later, because there were other people who passed away, mm-hmm. then we found another article stating that they were victims as well. But still, it was very hard. Like, you have to know the keywords to search.
You had to do a real good deep dive.
Yeah.
It was terrible.
Yeah.
But now you can get on the internet, type it up, and you get millions of things that pop up.
Mm-hmm.
And we like to believe that is partly because of us speaking out against what's going on and being in the face of it, I guess you could say.
We just wanted to have a normal conversation, like Tim was saying. So just like how you talk about drugs mm-hmm. and alcohol, we need to talk about sextortion. What will happen if you become a victim of sextortion? You have to realize that you are now a victim who's been sexually assaulted. A lot of people don't realize that because it didn't happen in the physical. That doesn't mean that you're not a sexual assault victim. They're literally taking pictures, naked pictures of our children and threatening them with it. If that's not sexual assault, I don't know what is. You know, you have different avenues that you have to overcome. And we're just here to try to educate as much as we can. And try to do as much as we can. And we're going to talk to the kids. And then they may forget, so we need to talk to them again. And keep pushing forward.
Yes. And something you just said that, again, there's so many things that just don't occur to you. It's sexual assault. Mm-hmm. I would never even have put that into the equation of it, because, again, you think, if somebody hasn't physically put their hands on you, then it's not something. But there's just so many areas and aspects of this, and it just it's almost like a rabbit warren, right? It just leads down to different parts, like it's sexual assault, it's the financial side of it. You were saying how it's been, there's two different types, and there's so much for us to learn. And going back to the fact that social media are trying to block certain things that you want to do to protect children, and you have, it took you several months before you found anything else to even, when you were doing your research. And again, we can only thank you for being that voice that has really helped get this message out there to people, because I think many people would be at a loss if it wasn't for the work that you're doing and being able to have some of these resources available that they can help young people. So again, thank you. And with regards to your foundation, because I was looking at the website, so I'm going to include the link in the description. But is it something that people can donate to help with your work? If you can talk to us a bit about that.
Yeah, on our website, there's an area where you can go to where it says donate, and you can donate however much you want. You can donate a quarter, you can donate, you know, $1, $100, whatever the case may be. We'll take all donations and it goes right back into the foundation. So it's not like they'll be sending us money to, you know, help us buy comic books or whatever. You know, we take the money, we put it back in, we buy more cars. It helps us with gas mileage when we travel to different schools and whatnot. It helps with the supplies needed to run the business. It's, all donations are welcome.
Thank you. And if anybody wanted to reach out to you to have you speak at an event, how do they do that?
We prefer, right now, we prefer for them to email us at doitforjamesfoundation@gmail.com. Right now, we had a scheduling mechanism inside of it. We took it off because some people were using it and some weren't. And so we didn't want people to think that certain days were still available. Mm-hmm. But if you email us directly at doitforjamesfoundation@gmail.com, Tim and I will answer the emails. We handle everything personally ourselves, and they will be able to work something out with them for us to come speak out to their school or event. If you're ever struggling with, if you're in the moment now where you are being victimized, please reach out to us. You can call us at 330-554-7482, and we will help walk you through overcoming that sextortion and helping lead you into that next step, whether it is making valid reports or scheduling therapy to talk about the experience you had, but that is important for us as well. So we're here to help.
Thank you. And you just mentioned something that scheduling therapy, it's so important that people mm-hmm. get the help they need after they've gone through a traumatic experience. It's not a case of, okay, I went through that, I got through it, great, on to the next thing. Make sure you get the help you need, because our mental health is very important. Very, very important.
It is. Most times people overlook that part of their health. You know, people think, I need to go to the doctor and get my checkup. I need to go to the dentist, have them look at my teeth. You know, but most times people never say, I need to talk to someone and, you know, see if I can get my mind a little more clear. You know, people think, I got all the answers, I don't need help. And then next thing you know, they're scattered brained and full of anxiety. It's, you know, people need to check on their mindsets also.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's okay. It's okay to talk about things.
Yes, and that's what we need to do more. And since I started doing these podcasts, the slogan I've been using is, the more we have these conversations, the more these conversations can be had. And
yes. Yeah.
Every time I do a podcast and I And I speak to people, it's like, that seems to be the resounding message, you know, speak about it, share. There's, for the most part, there's not much that you can do that your family's not going to still love you as a result.
Right.
And we want to be there for each other. We love each other. So thank you so much, Tamia and Tim, for your time today, for the work that you're doing. And again, I'm so sorry for your loss. Words just seem really inadequate. But I'm grateful and thank you for the courage that you have in using your pain to help other parents and families, and knowing the dangers of sextortion and other things that are out there, so that hopefully they won't have to go through what you're going through. And as you beautifully put on your website, may James rest in peace, knowing that he will be missed by his parents, Tamia and Tim Woods, family, friends, and everyone that he touched. I want to thank you both so much for taking the time to speak to us today.
Well, thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you for it. Thank you.
Thank you for spending time with us. We're already looking forward to the next episode of This is Conversations with Allison J. The journey to here. Until next time, honor, respect, and blessings to you all. If you want to connect, visit AllisonJ.net. That's AllisonJaye.net. Allison with one L, as she is the one and only.